Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 5 through 19. I missed you all, really did. Really missed being here. Last week, we had our school's entrance exam, and boy, just 1 week without church, 1 week not being here, singing and listening to testimonies and conversations and praying together. Well, last week was not easy personally because I missed just being in the presence of God's people. There is power that I need for life and living that's available here. So I just want to say I'm so happy to be here today. Amen. So let's go ahead and read from the book of Luke, verses 5 through 19. I'll begin from verse 5, and please join me at verse 12. From verse 5, and then please join me at verse 12. I'll just go ahead and read. Okay, here we go. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" And he replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven." Let's read together. "But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." The very words of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So last year in April, school was canceled, and we had no school for a month. My children were very happy. And my three elder boys, so every morning, instead of school, I just said, "Let's read the Bible." So we would read the Bible together, memorize it for 1 hour, and then after that, we would go for a bicycle ride. We'd ride to different places around the city. One day, it was raining, so it was dangerous to ride bicycles. And yeah, you don't want to ride a bicycle in rain, right? So I said, "Fine, we'll go for a walk." So I decided we'll go ahead and surprise Fernando Lopez, and we'll walk from my house to Fernando's shop, which is about 30 minutes walk, maybe 2.5 kilometers. So we leave, we go, and we're walking. It's on the street, just pavement, raining here and there. We're almost to Fernando's shop, but maybe 5 more minutes. And one of my sons says, "Daddy, I'm tired. My feet hurt." Yeah. And so I thought, all right, this is a good chance to teach them something as a father. So I stopped them, and we went underneath a yane, a roof from the rain. And I said, "Listen here, boys." I said, "Daddy, does Daddy want you to be happy?" And they said, yeah. They know they don't answer a question from Daddy like that, because they know Daddy's going to give them something different. So does Daddy want you to be happy? Sheen. And I said, "Look, Daddy doesn't need you to be happy. Daddy wants you to be strong. If you can be strong, happiness will take care of itself." Okay? You're boys now, but someday I want you to be men. And the man needs to be strong. "Yes, Daddy." And we walked to Lopez after that. I love Jesus. He's the master. This word, what we just read today, it's to make us strong. Stand firm, and you will win life. You see, when people think about Jesus Christ, or they think about his story or his teachings, they think that he's teaching about happiness. Blessed are the poor. Happy are the poor. Happy are the peacemakers, right? It's happiness. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden. I will give you rest. I will make you happy." You know, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come," John chapter 10, "to give you life, and life in abundance," right? I'm here to give you happiness. Yeah, that's only half of his teachings. Because he knows, in order to finish the life that he gives to us, in order to reach the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, it's not just happiness. It's strength. It's holiness. And so that's what we have. And you will not find, you know, maybe some of you listen to other preachers or ministries on the internet or on TV or whatever. And great. That's wonderful. I challenge you. See if your favorite preacher on the internet preaches this message. This is not an easy one. It's very difficult. Chapter 21 of Luke. Chapter 24 of Matthew. Chapter 13 of Mark. The disciples understood this is important. We're going to put this in the Gospels, in the Scriptures, because this is important. This is the teaching that Jesus gives just before he's going to be arrested. Okay? So Jesus is telling us about what we need to prepare for so that we can be ready and be strong. So are you ready? All right. So the disciples are with him. He's in the temple every week. He's in this magnificent place. It's like if you go to Kiyo Mizudera in Kyoto. Have you been there? Amazing building. The temple, the big one. It's on the pillars of wood, and it's ancient, it's glorious. Sometimes you go there, and they're fixing some part of it. You know, there's scaffolding, right? They're, you know, whatever. And there's under repair. The temple in Jerusalem, where Jesus is speaking, it is under repairs. It has been under repair for at least 50 years. It started in BC 20. And Herod the king wanted something to be remembered for, so he spent a lot of the government money to build up this temple. You know, the walls were 8 feet high, 6 feet thick, sometimes 60 feet long, just big stones on this building. And to put the stones together as an adhesive, as a glue, he used gold. So there's gold in between these stones, right? And he's making treaties and contracts with other countries. And these countries would bring gifts with jewels and precious stones. And he would put them on the temple. Okay? So you're walking and you're looking at this temple and it's just big stones. It's white. It's gold. It's shining. And there's precious stones everywhere. It's beautiful. And, you know, the disciples of Jesus are, wonderful. And Jesus says, not one stone will be. And here's the thing. It took 83 years to complete this repair of the temple. They finished the temple repairs in AD 64. The Romans came, crushed it, burned it, took every stone out so they can get the gold in AD 70. Right? 80 years of repair and refurbishing and reform, right? And after 4 years, burned to the ground. Motainai, right? So, So they're remarking how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones, gifts dedicated to God. Jesus says, what you see here, the time will come where not one stone will be left on another, every one of them thrown down. This is known as the fall of Jerusalem. Jesus is not giving just a prophecy. He's not just predicting the future. He's teaching us. This action by the Romans in Jerusalem, at the heart of the temple, this is happening not only for Jerusalem, but this is something that shows you what's happening in the world. Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, is a microcosm, is a small part of what's happening all around the world, of one power dominating another, of one people crushing another, of war, of turbulence, of violence, of oppression. It just doesn't happen not only in Jerusalem, it's everywhere. And you know what? When it increases, when there's more of it, then you know, I'm coming soon. I'm returning. But we'll get to that in a minute. So the disciples asked, teacher, when will we see these things? When will be the sign that they're about to take place? Well, Jesus, you're predicting this, but can you tell us what's the signs? What are the signs? How can we know that it's coming? Just like when the leaves fall from the tree, we know winter is coming, okay? How can we know? So Jesus replied, watch out that you're not deceived. Let me give you the first sign that Jesus says. Jesus says, there'll be false teachers, fake preachers, foolish messiahs. And they'll say, follow me. I have the answers. I can help you. I can save you. Follow me. That's how you'll know. I just mentioned the preachers that you might listen to on the internet. The internet's good because there's so much good that comes from it, okay? But there's also so much terrible stuff, right? social media, it's out of control, you know, lies, rumors. And you know what? There's also lots of false teaching, fake preachers. So let me just give you one thing that will help you decide if what I'm listening to is good or is not good, okay? For those of you on YouTube or, you know, whatever, podcast or, you know, sermon online, whatever. Here's how you know the preacher or the ministry is the right one. Because there's a lot of false ones, and Jesus says, watch out. If they're saying this, we have the answer. Our ministry will help you escape, go above and rise ahead of all the suffering, all the poverty, all the negativity. You follow us. You stay loyal to us. You contribute to our ministry, and God will bless you so that you will not suffer like everybody else. Our ministry will be used by God to make you wealthier, healthier, and better than, you know, it will help you live your best life. Jesus did not come merely for that. Here's how you know when it's the right one. When you're listening to a preacher and he says this, what we're teaching you, what you're learning from the Bible is not only to help you, but it's to help those around you. When Christ is transforming you, he is using you to transform your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your business. He's helping you to give. He's giving you strength to serve. He's making you generous. He's giving you compassion and empathy to be a counselor, a mentor, a teacher, a guide. You can listen to us and hear our preaching and follow us online, but don't let that stop you from getting down into the streets right where the people live and being there for them, right? Seichi-san, yeah, welcome to church. Welcome to Bitaki. And I'm so happy with what you're talking about. Seichi-san was talking about SDGs. And for those on YouTube listening to this, just the sermon only, SDGs is a United Nations program, 17 goals for sustainable development goals. They're trying to address the problems of the world of poverty, inequality, injustice, mental health. SDGs, sustainable developmental goals. The Bible has an answer. The Bible has known about SDGs since the beginning. The Bible's answer for the SDG is the KOG. The kingdom of God. Gender equality. Poverty eradication. Mental and physical health. Societal flourishing. What you're talking about is God's kingdom. What you're talking about is the reason God gave us life. In the book of Genesis, God makes everything, the universe, the world, the mountains, and he establishes society. And you know what he says? It is good. And you have my image. I made you human beings to bear my name. In other words, I'm making you royalty. You will be kings and queens and princes and princesses to rule over the earth to spread the kingdom of heaven onto the earth. Right? On earth as it is in heaven. To make the place equal, to make the place flourish, to make the place beautiful. Now, humanity, we ruined it, we rebelled, we thought we were the greatest ones, we could do it our way. And we have what we have. And the Bible, the story of the Bible is this. We ruined the earth. So God comes to restore his kingdom. And so here's what we're doing as Christians, why we gather here today, why we're singing and why we're praying and why we're testifying. We're waiting for Jesus to bring back the kingdom. And so this is what he's talking about. I know it's kind of weird, and he's talking about destruction and war and famine and pestilence and craziness. He's saying those are the signs that you will understand I'm going to come back, and everything that you're hoping for in the SDGs will come true in the KOG. All the evil, all the injustice, all the inequality, the poverty, the disease, the pandemic, I'm going to make everything new. The new heaven and the new earth. The new Jerusalem. No temple. Because I'm the temple. So that's what Jesus is talking about. And the sign of all this is this. There's going to be nuclear weapons across the ocean. There's going to be diseases across all of the countries. Earthquakes, famines, social unrest, rioting, storming of capitals, coup d'etats. And you're going to see enemies amongst the nations, and not only that, within the nations. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Verse 11, Yuki-san. Next verse. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences, various places, fearful events, great signs in heaven. We'll get to that later on, great signs in heaven. Before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. If you have your own Bible, if you have your own app, if you have a pen or, you know, your finger, I want you to highlight, mark, circle verse 13. If you're taking notes, that's the point, verse 13. And so you will bear testimony to me. So from verse 11 to verse 12, chaos, craziness, society, the environment, health, right? Everything is going to just get worse and worse, and people are going to panic. So here's what I want you to do. Don't fear the frenzy. Do not be afraid, all right? There's two things Jesus says. Don't follow the fake preachers. Number two, don't fear the frenzy. I have someone at my work. I've known her since I started work 12 years ago. She says she's a Christian. But every couple of years, she'll come to me. I'm in the copy room making copies.
Habakon-sensei, 聞いた? もう北朝鮮はね,
North Korea with the nuclear bombs, have you seen what's happening? And do you know what's happening with the banks?
Habakon-sensei, you don't put all your money in the bank, do you? I know you should take some out, put it under the mattress or in the jar, you know? It's crazy.
And then a couple of years later,
Habakon-sensei, what's happening with America? Do you see what they're doing this with that, the economy, and you can't go back there, and they're going to make war in Iran? Habakon-sensei, おかしくない?
Right? And she said she's a Christian. And she comes to me with these questions, and we could be in the office with other teachers or where. I don't want to say this out loud. You know, I don't want to embarrass her, but in my mind, I'm always saying, aren't you a Christian? Don't you believe in God? You read the newspaper, you watch the news, but do you hear what Jesus is saying? Do you listen to the master? Don't be fearful. Instead, this is your opportunity to shine.
man, everybody else is panicking. Let them panic. They have no hope. This is all they have. You have more. You have so much more.
So they're worried. So here's one way. Here's one thing. This was amazing to me. I don't know. This is not political. It's politically adjacent. But it's not political, okay? All right. America had an election 4 years ago, 2016, and one person, they won the election, the president, and I was watching my favorite basketball TV program. I'm a basketball fan, and there's a very popular basketball program that millions of people watch. And the host, at the end of the program, knew the whole country was worried about the new president. And the other commenters, the other hosts were very sad. They're worried. The person we wanted to win, they lost. And so at the end of the program, the main host, he said, before we finish our program about basketball today, I want to say one thing. Many people are disappointed about the new president. Many people are afraid of what's going to happen in our society, in our country. And he said this, I'm disappointed too, but I'm a Christian. And I believe that no matter who's in the office, in the Capitol, or who's in the White House, I have a king in heaven. And I believe that he is in control. And it's okay that the person I wanted to be president did not win. Because the one I know who is above him is still on the throne. National television, millions of people watching. Everybody's panicking. People are going crazy. He used this opportunity to shine, to testify. Amen? Amen? This is our chance. I'm so happy that even in 2021, in the midst of a global pandemic, we still have people to preach to. We still have new people coming. But even more than that, we have missionaries going to new territories. We have ministries that are going to continue, and God is still at work. And even in the midst of a pandemic, I have an opportunity to talk about the healer, the one who knows that millions of people are dying. I don't know what he's doing with that, but I know he's in control. So don't you panic, don't you fear. Don't you go crazy, right? We sang about it, and I need to sing about it. I love that song. Okay, we'll close. We'll go round third, and we'll go head for home on this. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand. How will you defend yourself? So, he's talking about persecution, and we in Japan, we will not experience outward, overt persecution. There's no one coming. There's no government coming to go against us. Japan is an open society. I'm thankful for that. They're tolerant of religion and churches. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, yeah. So there's nothing. There's not hard persecution, oppression, or nothing again. There is soft, subtle persecution. What's the word I'm looking for? My vocabulary. I'm sorry. I'm an English teacher, but I don't have English. What? No, when they go against you. Oppression, not oppression, but obstacles or obstruction. Okay. I'm sorry, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. Okay, so we don't face hard, overt opposition. I knew it was coming. So, nothing. We face soft opposition. okay? There's nobody saying don't go to church. There's nobody saying don't preach the Bible, okay? At my school, please preach, teach the Bible, dozo, okay? So what is the soft opposition? What is the subtle persecution? I'm just trying to work so I can pay my bills. I'm just working hard to buy some food and pay for my phone. Well, you know, if I'm going to have a phone, I should have a nice phone. I should have enough data plan. So I'll put a little more money there. If I'm going to have, electricity, I should have internet. So let me get some Wi-Fi in my house. Oh, let me get Hikari fiber, or fiber optics, you know. You know, if I'm going to have internet, I should have a TV that has internet. So let me get the big one with a nice remote control. You know what? If I'm going to watch TV, let me have a comfortable chair. I mean, come on. Let me have some comfort. If I'm going to have some food, I don't want to eat ramen every night. Let me have some good food. Do you see where this is going? It's soft. They're not going to come at you directly, but they want you to be comfortable and pleasurable. Jesus says, I want you to be strong. Okay? There are Christians in other countries dying, put in prison. You know this. Right? They had their necks cut off. They're separated from their family. They have to go into hiding. They have to leave the country. Jesus says, be ready for it, okay? But you here in Japan, you here, the worst you'll have to face is maybe a parent who says, don't get baptized. Okay, that's probably the worst of it. Or, you don't believe in homosexuality? You're crazy. That's the worst. We have answers for that, all right? But what Jesus is saying is, be strong. And here's the last part, lasting security. So it says in verse 16, you will be betrayed by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends, some of you put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me. But here's verse 18, not a hair on your head will perish. Huh? Jesus, you just said in verse 16, some of you will be put to death. Some of us will die. And then he says in verse 18, but not a hair on your head will perish. Does that make sense? You're going to die, but you're going to be okay. Jesus, what does that mean? Not a hair on your head. That's an old Jewish expression. You'll find it in the Old Testament. It means your being, who you are, okay? Your life. So he's saying the worst that they can do is kill you. That's nothing. They killed me. That's the worst they can do. But not a hair on your head. So that means your life is more than your physical life. Yeah? That's what he's saying. And so he says here in verse 19, stand firm and you will win life. Interesting expression there. It's very difficult to translate that in English and Nihongo. In the Greek is, you will gain, you will inherit, you will get your sukos, your soul. That's what it is, okay? You will get your soul. You will gain your being, your essence. Look what Jesus is saying. They can kill you physically. They can't touch your essence. If you're my follower, if you trust me, if you are my disciple, I have you both body and soul. And maybe they can put you to death. But
no one takes what the Father has given to me. If the Father has given you to me, Jesus Christ, the devil cannot snatch you away. Even death itself has no power over me because they killed me and I still rose from the dead. And I still have authority over death, hell, the grave, and even Satan. I am the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in me, even though you die, you will be raised to life. So don't fear death. You have lasting security. And this is where we'll close. Pastor Chris, I don't know. I don't know if I can finish. It was emotional. I was crying, and it was beautiful, and it was wonderful. But I came down from the mountain, and it's hard. People are leaving me. I don't have any money. My friends are gone. I'm alone. I don't know if I can do this. I can't go to church all the time. I don't have internet. I don't know if I can finish. So Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, what does it say? He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus' return. It's not up to you. It doesn't depend on you. Amen. So when Jesus says, stand firm and you will win life, right? It means I'm going to help you. You're going to stand firm and you're going to win your soul because I am faithful to complete what I have started. And that's why we're here, to be reminded of it. I want you to go home, go to your work, your school, your business, and I want you to bring the good news of the gospel, that God has started a wonderful work in you and that he's going to finish it all around you. You're going to go home lighter, brighter, happier, and stronger. Yeah? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we love you, and we love the Son that you sent, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, strengthen the hands that are weak. Strengthen the hearts that are feeble. Strengthen me, O God, even this very hour. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies we had. Thank you for the music that we sing. But more importantly, God, more than the testimonies, the prayer, or the singing, thank you for Jesus Christ, your presence with us. Lord, let us be stronger in your name. For it is that's what we pray in. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and stand up and sing our closing song together.
Yes.